It's Thursday, the 13th of November, and you're listening to Northland Views here on Sunsounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader in Flagstaff, Chuck Kaufman. And today we have these headlines: voters approve CCC's $100 million capital bond, Vikings end season with semifinals loss, and activists environmentalists unite for event in support of National Monument. This article from the 11th of November: voters approve CCC's $100 million capital bond. Preliminary results show that Coconino County voters have approved Coconino Community College's, CCC's, $100 million capital bond, the first in 25 years. The measure will fund major construction and renovation projects at CCC locations in Flagstaff, Page, and Williams. This result is a resounding statement of confidence in the future of Coconino County, said Dr. Eric Heiser, President and CEO of CCC. Voters have given Coconino Community College the opportunity to expand access to high-quality education, strengthen our workforce, and create new opportunities for students across northern Arizona. We're deeply grateful for the community's trust and support. This investment will help us train the next generation of nurses, technicians, and skilled professionals who keep our region strong. Together, we're building a stronger, more resilient future for Coconino County. The bond will make it possible to rebuild Coconino County Community College's 55-year-old 4th Street facility in East Flagstaff, which currently occupies a former strip mall. The new purpose-built campus will provide flexible classrooms and modern lab spaces for construction trades programs, including plumbing, electrical, welding, and HVAC, along with CCC's adult education programs and the region's only law enforcement training academy. A new allied health building on CCC's existing Lone Tree campus will expand capacity in programs such as nursing, surgical technology, radiologic technology, respiratory therapy, and EMT. The facility will include updated labs and simulation areas designed to prepare students for today's healthcare careers. At Williams High School, the bond will fund new hands-on career and technical education lab space to support dual enrollment and skill building for high school students pursuing technical trades. CCC's Page site will see the addition of affordable student housing and expanded workforce training programs, including RV and marine maintenance technology, helping meet the growing needs of rural and tribal communities in northern Arizona. We are thrilled with the outcome of the election and would like to thank the voters for trusting in CCC and recognizing this as an investment not only in the community college but also in Coconino County, said CCC Governing Board Chair Joseph R. Smith. We cannot wait to put this new funding source to use and continue to address the education and workforce needs of our communities. CCC will begin the design and planning phase for the Lone Tree Healthcare Building and 4th Street Campus first, followed by projects in Williams and Page. Regular updates will be shared at www.coconino.edu/bond. Election results are preliminary and unofficial until canvassed and certified by Coconino County. This information is provided by the Coconino Community College for voters approve CCC's $100 million capital bond. Our next headline: Vikings end season with semifinals loss. This is by Calvin Shoemaker from the 11th of November. The Williams High School football team's season is over after the Vikings were only 2 points shy of advancing to the state title game in Scottsdale last weekend. When the regular season ended on October 17th, the Vikings were 5-4 overall and the sixth seed entering the 1A eight-man playoffs. After a 50-6 first-round win over San Manuel, the Vikings went on the road to upset number 3, St. David, by a score of 58-40, which set up a rematch with number 2, Baghdad, in the state semifinals on November the 8th. In a back-and-forth game where neither team made a two-point conversion, it was an extra point kicked by Baghdad in the fourth quarter that was the difference maker, giving the Sultans a 19-18 victory to advance to the championship game where they'll face number one Hayden in a battle of unbeatens on November 15th. In the semifinals, senior quarterback Jack Dent accounted for all three Viking scores, completing two touchdowns to Kyle Mendoza and rushing for another. Despite the heartbreaking loss in the semifinals, coach Jeff Brownlee saw his team gel and rise to the occasion down the stretch. The nucleus of the team came together, where I do think other teams would have kind of fallen apart after losing four games in the regular season, Brownlee said. This team came together tighter than I've ever seen another team, and that was special to see. Williams finished the season with an overall record of 7-5. And that's Vikings in season with semifinals loss. Our next article, also by Calvin Shoemaker, from the 11th of November. Activists, environmentalists unite for event in support of National Monument. Flagstaff. A national monument designated by former President Joe Biden in 2023 to protect and preserve the landscape around Grand Canyon National Park is threatened. That was the main message from last week's event at the Coconino Center for the Arts, featuring live music from Ed Kaboti and Thayotis, remarks from key activists and films on the Baj Navajo Ita Kukveni, ancestral footprints of the Grand Canyon National Monument. The night's program informed attendees of how the monument came to be, why it's important, and the threats it currently faces. We are in a time where our monuments are getting attacked, said Carletta Tilusi, an environmental advocate from the Havasupai tribe. It's so important right now to keep working together, steadfast, more so than ever before. In September, Representative Paul A. Gosar, Republican of Arizona, introduced legislation to nullify the monument surrounding the Grand Canyon, as well as the Ironwood Forest National Monument in southeast Arizona, for energy production and economic purposes. Tribal leaders and nonprofit organizations of the Grand Canyon region are pushing back, saying now is a pivotal time in the effort to protect ancestral lands. We are in a fight, Kaboti said. It's a fight against paradigms and philosophies. Among the organizations with information booths at the event was conservation group Wild Arizona. Its executive director, Lynn Westerfield, is a concerned Grand Canyon River guide who's baffled by the overall lack of awareness in the greater Flagstaff community about the Grand Canyon National Monument. There are still a lot of people, especially river people, people who care about the Grand Canyon community and region that don't know what it is, Westerfield said. While the monument, designated by Biden to protect land from mining, now faces the threat of revocation, it's also home to the Energy Fuels Uranium Mine, Pinyon Plain Mine, located near the Sacred Red Butte, only a few miles from the south rim of the Grand Canyon. Energy Fuels calls it the highest-grade uranium mine in the United States. The ore mined there is transported for processing to the company's White Mesa Mill south of Blanding, Utah, on a haul route through the Navajo Nation. This is a monstrosity, Kaboti said. It's a heartbreaking monstrosity. Leona Morgan, a leading advocate against the exploitation of tribal lands, gave an update on the movement and stated a clear opposition to the claim that nuclear energy is a clean solution to climate change. Nuclear energy is not the solution, Morgan said. We know that uranium mining is very dangerous. It creates forever radioactive waste, but what's worse is that nuclear energy creates the most toxic waste in the world. Despite the concerns, Morgan said the cause is not hopeless and that progress is happening. While preserving the national monument and ending uranium mining along the perimeter of the Grand Canyon may seem like a tall task, activists say it's far from a lost cause. This fight is winnable, Westerfield said. We can close Pinyon Plain. We can stop uranium mining from happening here. Coming to something like this makes me double down that it's possible that we can really protect this area. Havasupai Tribe Chairwoman Bernadine Jones and Coconino County Supervisor Lena Fowler were among the dignitaries who attended the program Advocacy groups that tabled included the Sierra Club, Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition, and Hall No. The night's festivities featured the Coconino Center for Arts exhibit, Shifting Topographies, Extracting the Landscape, an exhibit that features work by Carol Hartman, Jeff Schmucki, and the late Clee Benally. The exhibit's closing reception will be held Saturday, December 20th, from 6 to 7 p.m. And that's Activists Environmentalists Unite for Event in Support of National Monument. Our next item from the 11th of November, Memorial Garden Planned at St. John's Episcopal Lutheran Church. This is by Doreen Holche. St. John's Episcopal Lutheran Church in Williams is planning a memorial garden as an extension of its long-standing tradition of a churchyard burial resting place. The memorial garden will consist of a columbarium and a memorial wall landscaped with artificial grass and pavers located next to the church. Families can honor their loved ones through memorial bricks and honor plaques. Memorial bricks are priced at $100, while memorial plaques cost $500. Revenue generated from brick and plaque sales will support operation and maintenance. Memorial bricks can be engraved with up to 3 lines of text at 18 characters per line. Memorial plaques allow for greater personalization with space for names, birth, and death dates. Each plaque will be 6 by 4 inches. For more information, contact Christine Vasquez at 928-863-2467 or visit St. John's Williams AZ, that's all one word, St. John's Williams AZ, .org. And that's Memorial Church Garden Planned at St. John's Episcopal Lutheran Church. Doreen Holche also writes our next article, County Representatives Join Stuff the Bus Food Drive Amid Unprecedented Need. Flagstaff. Coconino County Representatives stood alongside community volunteers November the 8th at the 10th annual Stuff the Bus Food Drive. Flagstaff Family Food Center hosted the event at 2 area Safeway locations on Cedar Avenue and Plaza Way, ensuring families across the county can observe Thanksgiving with food security. I'm here with the other supervisors working to make sure the people who need food on Thanksgiving Day have the necessary items to be able to make dinner and celebrate being with family and loved ones, District 5 County Supervisor Lena Fowler said. We have stuffed the bus, and we're here to really take care of people that are in need. Fowler highlighted mobilization across the region's tribal and rural communities, noting parallel efforts extending to the county's northern reaches. In the Page area, there's Page Circle, and Page is also doing some work on that side of the reservation, she said. All the organizations from various areas are working to help families that are in need right now. The food drive, which ran from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. at the 2 Flagstaff Safeway locations, represents a partnership among the Flagstaff Family Food Center, Mountain Line, and Coconino County, an alliance that's become increasingly vital as food safety net programs face mounting strain. Sylvia A. Johnson, chair of the Flagstaff Family Food Center, said the organization now serves communities throughout the county. The Flagstaff Family Food Center serves a large portion of Coconino County, Johnson said. We have distributions in Winslow, Loup, and Williams, and we now operate the Grand Canyon Food Pantry. We're growing when the need is growing. District 1 Supervisor Patrice Horstman characterized the current crisis with clear figures, noting the Flagstaff Family Food Center distributed 50,000 meals in October alone, a staggering increase over its typical 20,000 monthly distribution. We're so lucky that we have the communities that we have here in Coconino County, Horstman said. They're here to help, and they're helping their neighbors in need right now. District 3 Supervisor Tammy Ontiveros also joined Johnson and other county leaders at the food drive. We very much appreciate the generosity of the community in giving this event to help feed families in our area, Ontiveros said. The increased need comes against a backdrop of economic pressures and concerns about potential lapses or reductions in SNAP benefits. And that's county representatives join Stuff the Bus food drive amid unprecedented need. You're listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming as it streams or at a time of your choosing by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona as it streams on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show. Next, we have High Stakes Vote. Page Greenlights Data Center dismissing warnings of former counselors on developer motives. This is by Bob Hembree of the Lake Powell Chronicle from the 11th of November. The decision came on October 22nd, 2025, after an intense multi-hour meeting dominated by citizen outrage over the rush to approve Ordinance 744-25, which grants developer Huntley LLC a pathway to purchase the 500 acres of city land. The primary conflict pits the council majority's desire for massive tax revenue against the community's fears of irreversible environmental damage and deep skepticism about the developer's intentions, the rush, and the real estate middleman. The strongest warnings came from former counselor and retired U.S. Park Service official Brian Carey, who questioned the legitimacy of the deal's swift timeline. Carey noted the stark contrast in public process. I find it disappointingly ironic that a council that includes the two heads of the Page Action Committee has forgotten the buzzsaw created only 1 year ago when 6 years and 27 public opportunities for a $5 million street estate project were deemed insufficient. Now, only 4 weeks after a single public presentation, we're expected to swallow a $15 billion project with no details, no engineering plans, making outlandish economic promises, and hiding key partnerships. Your actions tonight must serve to unite our community and not further divide it. You've heard the concerns. I urge the council to slow down and get us some more answers if you want to have any chance of building trust in your government. Councilor Amanda Hammond confirmed the developer applied a high-pressure sales tactic, which ultimately broke down negotiations for her. She described the high-pressure situation. Just 2 weeks later, the developer came to us with a high-pressure sales tactic and basically told us, this is a once-in-a-lifetime deal. This deal won't last long. Either approve it now or we walk. To me, anytime I've been to a used car sales lot and somebody tried that tactic on me, I walked, she said. Hammond argued that if the project is viable, there'll be other developers down the road that are willing to work with us and willing to give us a better deal. History of land banking raises alarm. Skepticism centered on the developer's role and history in Page. Carey suggested the developer appears to be just a real estate middleman whose plan is to buy the land now and worry about the rest later, since they provided no engineering plans. Chuck Straub, speaking during the public comment period, also referenced the developer's track record. Huntley has already got a lot of property in Page with big promises, said Straub. We're going to build on Potato Hill, a big resort. We're going to build at Indigo Ridge, you know, a big deal. All that property, still sitting there idle. They're sitting on it. So if they're going to buy all this other property, are they going to sit on it? We haven't seen plans for this thing yet. We haven't gotten anything concrete where they're going to get the water or the electricity. Carey also questioned the longevity of the agreement, asking, can our contracts survive the inevitable turnover of city staff and council? Another long-term resident, Stephen Law, presented research showing no one likes living next to a data center. He cited complaints from other cities, including increased utility bills, both electric and water, loss of open space, and contamination worries. Imagine going onto your deck on a sunny morning to drink your coffee and just hearing a buzz that never goes away, Law pleaded. Contract details, 8 years to close, or land banking. The agreement sets a contract timeline that could last up to 96 months or 8 years before the purchase is finalized, as the buyer has the option to extend the closing date repeatedly by making escalating extension payments to the city. To combat land banking, the contract includes a repurchase right, Section 20, allowing the city to buy the land back at the original price if the developer fails to meet two core development triggers within 2 years of closing, commencing grading on 50% of the site and expending $20 million on pursuit costs. The question of other development. If the $20 million development threshold is met but the data center plan collapses, the buyer can keep the land and propose an alternative project. However, since the property is currently zoned for Parks and Open Space, or POS, the buyer must still apply for a rezone. The city attorney confirmed the council retains absolute authority over this process. We have absolute discretion to deny, to change when a developer comes to a government entity such as the city. We also have discretion to change our regulations, which we will, before they make any zoning applications, and if we don't, and we don't, we can just deny their zoning, their zone change. We have absolute discretion to do that. Furthermore, the buyer, Huntley LLC, retains the right to assign the agreement to any affiliated entity without the city's consent, potentially allowing the speculative deal to be passed internally between related companies. The division, councilors speak out. The vote was deeply divisive, with councilors Preller and Hammond leading the opposition. Councilor Preller criticized the sale as a fundamental betrayer of the town's character. This is selling Page's quality of life, our noise pollution, and light pollution in exchange for money that we really don't need, he said. I feel like this town's soul is not for sale, Preller said before casting his hell no vote. Councillor Hammond focused on the lack of certainty. She noted that environmental control, sound mitigation, and the final electric plan, all key verbal promises, are not in writing anywhere. She criticized the rushed timeline and the fact the land is currently zoned for open space. She also worried aloud about the absence of a decommissioning clause should the facility fail. Councillors supporting the sale focused on economic necessity. Councillor Roundtree stated the city must seek financial diversification. Finance is something I have to address, she said, arguing that the city cannot afford crucial projects like a new pool or water infrastructure solely on tourism revenue. We need money, she concluded. We have to responsibly look at this opportunity. Councillor Hettinger provided a strong defense of the contractual language. She argued the repurchase right is a necessary anti-land banking mechanism and that the commitment is significant. She also emphasized that the contract explicitly requires the developer to pay an equivalent transaction privilege tax, or TPT, even if they self-generate power behind the meter, ensuring the city receives its projected revenue regardless of the utility source. Hettinger compared the center's potential to the former SRP coal plant, arguing it could provide 50 to 60 permanent high-wage technical jobs. The final vote to approve Ordinance 744-25 passed 5-2. Mayor Kidman and Councilors Farrell, Ogg, Hettinger, and Roundtree voted in favor of the data center. Councilors Hammond and Preller voted against the move. What's next? The adoption of the ordinance launches an 18 to 24-month feasibility period for the developer. The data center is not yet guaranteed to be built. The focus now shifts to whether the developer can address the community's concerns, solving the water, power, and noise issues while navigating the city's retained right to deny permits. Councilor Preller offered a final political warning to the majority. He reminded them that many of the current council members will be up for election next year, suggesting the vote could trigger a political backlash similar to the recall action seen after the streetscape project. And that's High Stakes Vote, Page Greenlight's Data Center, dismissing warnings of former counselors on developer motives. Next we have Grand Canyon Railway's 25th Polar Express season is underway. A Williams, Arizona holiday staple is back for its 25th year. The first Polar Express train ride of the season departed the Grand Canyon Railway Station on Friday, November the 7th, marking an unofficial kickoff to the Christmas season in the gateway to the Grand Canyon. The Polar Express now departs the station almost daily at both 5:30 p.m. and 7:30 p.m., excluding Tuesdays through December 9th and Christmas Day. For the complete schedule and more info, visit www.thetrain.com. That's Grand Canyon Railway's 25th Polar Express season underway. Then we have Man Falls to Death at Guano Point. A 65-year-old man is dead after he slipped and fell over the edge into the canyon at Guano Point on November 11th. The Mojave County Sheriff's Office search and rescue team responded to the scene and located the man about 130 feet below the rim. Responders set up a lowering and raising rope system to recover the body. Guano Point is located on the Hualapai tribe land at Grand Canyon West. And that's Man Falls to Death at Guano Point. You've been listening to Northland Views here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. I'd like to thank you for joining me for this Thursday edition of Northland Views, news of Williams and the Grand Canyon from the williamsnews.com website. Remember, you can listen to Northland Views and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming streaming on the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or on the Sun Sounds of Arizona app available on the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad, the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet, and finally you can listen to Northland Views streaming on your Amazon Dot, Echo, or Show.